You can join the conversation all day. Don't let me exclude you from any comments or questions. 35270 is the iConsultants of North Dakota text club. You can call me, 237-5948. That is the Laney's studio line. And as we were telling you right before we took a quick pause here, the Federal Reserve announced another steep interest rate hike just about an hour, 17 minutes ago, ramping up its efforts to bring down inflation from a four-decade high. And you know, when we think about the economy, when we think about inflation, we think about what that means to you. We think about NDSU and Dr. James Caton, who joins us yet again here on Afternoons Live. Dr. Caton, I hope things have been treating you well.
Oh, everything has been great. Good to be on again, Tyler.
Yeah, I appreciate you jumping on with this very short notice. I knew that the Feds were going to be meeting. I knew there was going to be a rate hike, but this is the second consecutive time that they go 0.75 percentage points to, you know, get the range of 2.25 to 2.5%. Explain why this step was taken yet again.
Yeah, so inflation readings have been high and they've stayed high, higher than the Fed is comfortable with. The Fed has a mandate to maintain inflation at 2%. So they want inflation to fall back down to about 2%. They have to not only tighten, but convince investors that they're going to tighten in order to bring inflation back down to 2%.
Boy, we're a long ways from 2%. I think the last I had seen was, I think the consumer price rose 9% annually. Is that the same figure we're talking about, or am I off there, Dr. Caton?
Yeah, that's always an interesting question. 9.1% on the CPI, the figure that the Fed looks at, depending on which one, is going to be about 4.7 or 6.3. You know, both of those are still too high. They need to get down to 2%, which is why the Fed is still moving. Regardless of what measure they look at, they are above target, and they've not been able to very quickly move back down to the target. So two major rate increases in a row.
Oh, do I have you, Dr. Gaten, or did I lose you?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, I am here.
Very good. Yeah, so we had the two in a row that are quite steep, you know, but when you're looking at what you just said, whether it's 6 or 4%, you still have to get that down quite substantially here. But, you know, people listening right now are looking at this and they're wondering about interest rates for getting a car, a house, what this might mean for them and their checkbooks. Can you break that down for them so they have an understanding, including myself?
Yeah. So, you know, the inflation was in part caused by a massive increase in savings. We had a major increase in the savings rate, you know, in the first year after the start of the COVID crisis. And all that extra money that was moving into the economy, people were using to buy more goods. They bought a lot of houses with that. And over time, that has dwindled lower and lower until now. Our saving rates are around 5%, which is a rate lower than before the pandemic started. Meanwhile, since about a year ago or so, we've been having more and more credit usage. So year over year, we have increased the amount of credit we've been using by about, you know, 16-17%. And as interest rates go up, it's going to get more and more costly to increase the amount of credit that we have. So that inevitably should slow consumption expenditures because, one, we have less savings, and, two, credit is more expensive.
Dr. Caton is my guest at NDSU, the economy department up there, just talking about the fact that the Feds again had a rapid rate hike. Have you seen the impacts of, obviously this one just coming out today, but the one even prior to this, is the second time in a row they've done this 0.75. Have you seen across the country what that's done? I mean, has, you know, I've read some of, you know, some other economists, and as you pointed out last time you were on the show, well, every economist kind of has their own view on how things rest right now. I mean, has it impacted housing markets? The stock market, I think, just as a general observer, not an expert like yourself, it seems that maybe that spurred some of the, you know, suppressed stock values there. Have you seen the Fed increase last time have any impact on inflation as of yet?
It certainly has had an impact on inflation expectations. Some of the extra inflation that we've been getting has been supply side, but certainly not all of it. I wouldn't even say most of it. But we did see a response in financial markets since April. Investors implicitly through their investments seem to expect lower inflation. So we have implied inflation expectations in the marketplace. And not only are those tending to be a lot lower right now, but the discrepancy between short run and long run inflation has also decreased a lot since April. So that's really good news. That says investors expect that there's going to be less inflation. That means that they're going to be preparing less for inflation. If you expect there's going to be more inflation, you're going to very quickly buy goods, and that actually makes inflation a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? By the same means, if investors expect that there's going to be less inflation, they're not going to be rushing to stock up on commodities, right? They might step back from that, and we'll actually see, because of their expectations, inflation come down. I think we're right about at that stage. I think in the next 2 to 3 months, I would expect that we'll start finally seeing that reversal that the Fed is looking for. These two major consecutive rate hikes will do a lot of the heavy lifting there if inflation expectations are any indicator of the future.
Does that indicate recession at all? That's the other term that people are hearing out there. Oh, and the U.S. is headed for a recession. It's not imminent, but it seems somewhat likely. Just what are your thoughts on that and what that also means just for an average household?
Yeah, so you know, the ability of individuals to acquire credit at relatively low cost is going to probably be what gets us through this next little bump as we get to a more normal state of affairs where prices get normalized. We figure out how much inflation do we actually have? Are we actually moving back to a state of relatively low inflation in the next 1 to 2 years? It's important as we figure that out. If consumers are able to get access to the credit that they need, they can maintain the level of consumption that also maintains the incomes for everybody, right? It has to be sustainable, though. If they're unable to get access to credit because it's too expensive, then that becomes problematic. You mentioned the housing market. What's interesting right now is there doesn't seem to be a crash so much in the housing market. In the more expensive zip codes, we certainly see a pullback, but in terms of housing inventories, we still see some modest increases, but the supply bottlenecks still exist, and it doesn't look like builders want to keep building at the same pace that they have been building. So it's unclear that we're going to have like a 2008-style housing crash. In the least, we'll have a moderation. We'll likely have something of a pullback. But at this point, I don't see any indication that there will be a major housing crash. So then it's just a question of how is consumption affected by this? How is the level of employment affected? So far, we haven't seen anything that should make us worry. And we'll be watching closely over the next 2 to 3 months.
Well, very good. Dr. Caton, is there anything I missed before I let you go? Again, I know a short notice, this rate increase just happened within the last hour and a half, but is there something I missed before I let you get back on with your day?
You know, I think we want to look ahead to what the Fed is expecting for the future. And at this point, there doesn't seem to be a strong indication that the Fed is going to have another major rate increase at their next meeting. That's going to depend in part on the next inflation reading. So we have, we'll have releases of different inflation measures at the end of this month. Tomorrow, we're going to have release of GDP data, and then we'll have more CPI data next month. The Fed is going to look at that, and they're going to use that to help determine whether or not the market is responding appropriately. They're going to be looking at all the different movements and stock prices, interest rates, and so forth, but especially movements in inflation over this month. They're going to be really looking at that and thinking about whether to move ahead. Right now, the expectation is that they will not continue at the same pace that they have.
Very good. Dr. Caton, I'm going to let you go. As always, we appreciate your time. We'll chat again soon. All right. Till then, you take care.
Great chatting. See you on time.
You bet. Dr. James Caton up at NDSU. He's with the Econ Department. I mean, what I'm gathering through some of this is, look, yeah, it's gonna bite a little bit if you're looking to go out and make some of those big purchases. But in the long run, I mean, hopefully this is going to bend that curve a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't be using that term ever again, given the last 2 years. But I think you're understanding what I mean. When you're looking at the rate of how things have shot up in cost for a variety of reasons, and in fact, if you missed our previous conversations with Dr. Caton, KFGO.com, go to the podcast page. You know what? Wherever you get your podcasts, Find After News Live. Click subscribe. The Price is Right. It's free. We don't have any inflationary rate there. It's all free. And you can listen to that. He explained the causes for this. Yes, federal spending part of that in both this administration and the Trump administration. Yes, the war in Ukraine from Russia has impacted this. The supply chain that was disrupted so much during COVID has impacted this. It has been a perfect storm. And you know what? We're all pretty much weathering it right now when it comes to buying the goods when we can find it. Supply, all of that. You understand that. So here we are. And what little measures can be taken up, they're trying. You got to give them credit for that, right? Let me know at 35270. You can also call me at 237-594, right? I've got messages already awaiting me, whether that's about the Crystal Sugar and the union dispute, also about the Fargo Dome and Bison football beer. It's all on the table when we come back. Got to get you caught up with Paul Driggins of the KFGO News Center. I'll check in with Rusty Halverson as well, get you the latest egg news. I'm Tyler Axis. You got to locked into KFGO Fargo.